Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the April NJEDA Board Meeting. At this time, all phone participants are in a listen-only mode. Attendees on Microsoft Teams should remain muted until it is their turn to speak. Please be advised today's meeting is being recorded. When the chairman opens the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public attending in person will be acknowledged to speak first, then by Teams, and then by phone. You will be asked to provide your name and any organization with which you are affiliated. Members of the public attending via Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comment. Members of the public attending by phone will be advised to press star then one on your telephone keypad and then placed into a queue to provide comment. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing star then two. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. If you require assistance during the call, please press star then zero. I will now turn the conference over to Chairman Terry O'Toole. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Tim, could you read the open public meeting notice, please?
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, everyone. In accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act, notice of this meeting has been sent to the Star Ledger, the Bergen Record, and the Trentonian at least 48 hours prior to this meeting, and a meeting notice has been posted on the Secretary of State's bulletin board at the Department of State.
Thank you, Tim. Manier, could you call the roll?
Chairman Terry O'Toole.
Present.
Vice Chair Charles Sarlo.
Here.
Philip Maggia.
Here.
Marcia Medina Ferrara.
Here.
Marcia Marley.
Here.
Robert Shimko.
Here.
Josh Weinrich.
Here.
Fred Dumont.
Here.
Jameer Sermon for the Executive Branch.
Here.
Manuel Colino for Commissioner Justin Zimmerman. Manuel Colino. Elizabeth Dragon for Commissioner Sean LaTourette. Aaron Binder for State Treasurer Elizabeth Moyo.
Here.
Chief White for Commissioner Angelo.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Manira. And I'd like to welcome Josh. This is his first in-person meeting with us. Welcome.
Good morning. This is Jewel Antwine Johnson. I didn't hear my name, but I am here.
Hey, Jewel. Good morning.
And also, Elizabeth Dragon is on Teams, if she can unmute and say hello. Elizabeth?
Elizabeth Dragon?
Yeah, she's unmuted.
Here. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Just
barely.
Make it a little louder. You're hard to hear.
Okay. Again, thank you all for joining us this morning. We have one set of meeting minutes for approval today. Before you are minutes from the March 12th NJEDA board meeting for review and approval, I kindly request the board members state their name for the record when making a motion or second. Could I hear a motion to approve the March 12th board meeting minutes, please?
Brent Dumont, motion.
All right, so we'll consider you a second. Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve? All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the minutes are approved. I'd give some brief chairman's remarks this morning. Good morning to everyone, and welcome to the NJEDA's Newark office for our April board meeting. We're glad to be here in a city that continues to grow as a hub of culture, innovation, and economic opportunity. Newark has long played a central role in New Jersey's economy, and today we're seeing exciting momentum across many sectors, from arts to technology and from small business development to major redevelopment projects. That momentum includes Newark's emergence as a hub for innovation and entrepreneurship, where a growing ecosystem of startups, accelerators, and creative ventures are choosing to launch and expand. Under Governor Murphy's leadership, the NJEDA has supported a range of initiatives in Newark, helping to foster inclusive growth and position the city as a destination for innovation and investment. One example of that commitment is the launch of the Hacks Accelerator, which opened its doors in May 2024 on Broad Street. Powered by the NJEDA's Strategic Innovation Center initiative and supported by the NJ Accelerate program, Hacks is a global startup development program for pre-seed hard tech companies, providing entrepreneurs with access to capital, mentorship, and collaborative opportunities. Around the corner from Hacks is the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, or NJPAC, a major cultural institution that serves as an anchor in the heart of through support of the Aspire program tax credit, NJPAC is embarking on a massive mixed-use redevelopment project, serving as a touchpoint between the city's downtown and the new Riverfront Park. The project will include creation of 350 new residential units and office and retail space, and with support through the Activation, Revitalization, and Transformation, or ART, program, NJPAC is renovating the former Episcopal Church office building at 31 Mulberry Street. This remodeling will consist of adding ART-focused classrooms, community gathering spaces, and additional office space for NJPAC employees. In total, the ART program has invested $15 million to support real estate projects in the city, including over $2 million to support the renovation of Equal Space, an incubator dedicated to providing a safe space for Black and brown women, men, and those within the LGBTQ plus community. Having an entity like Equal Space in Newark underscores the city's commitment to building a stronger, more diverse, and inclusive economy. And $6 million was invested to support the relocation of two fine dining establishments, Melba's 550 and Delta's, to Newark. Through the ART investment, both restaurants will rehabilitate and renovate vacant building space, helping revitalize key areas in the city. Through public space activation grants under the ART program, Newark Alliance received $1.5 million to support the city's commitment to expanding cultural arts across Newark. And lastly, through the Urban Investment Fund, UIF, the NJEDA awarded Invest Newark a $7 million grant to support building rehabilitation and public use projects throughout the city. After this meeting, members of the board and I will visit HACS and NJPAC to see in person how our investments are helping support the city's economic growth and prosperity. The NJEDA is proud to support this work alongside HACS and NJPAC as we work to accomplish Governor Murphy's commitment to provide opportunities for Newark's residents and small businesses to grow and thrive. With that, I will turn the meeting over to Tim for his CEO's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Newark. Glad to have everyone here. Thanks to everyone, our team, who put so much effort in, particularly when we have away game. Board meetings are harder to host than home game board meetings, so thanks to everyone who brings us together, particularly Danielle and the governance team, and Emma and Maggie and the events team that brings us all together. So thank you to all of you. March into April, a busy month, as most of our months tend to be, but lots of different events and activities around some of our programs. I'll just highlight a couple. March is both Women's History Month and Irish American Heritage, St. Patrick's Month. I'm just kidding. Patrick's Day is the 17th of the year in March. Irish something or other, but we had a really nice event in Montclair at a woman-owned restaurant that Emma and Tara and Ty anchored that event. And we had an event in our boardroom for Irish American Heritage Month in Coughlin to celebrate Irish American businesses. So continuing to highlight the diversity and variety of our economy. We also had some really important milestones, things like the ribbon cutting for Kenview. Kenview is the newest Fortune 500 company headquartered in New Jersey, a spinoff of J&J, but now headquartered in Summit, New Jersey. The governor was there to cut the ribbon on that, exciting one. We had the Founder and Funders All-Stars event, which is the first time we've done a competition quite like that, at the College of New Jersey in Ewing, where we had sort of some of the winners from prior competitions of or prior outcomes of our Founders and Funders events and our ecosystem building events come together for that was a really good and fun and sort of good vibes, if you will, event where we were able to make an award and continue the momentum around all of our innovation ecosystem. The momentum we have in innovation is so centrally driven by these strategic innovation centers. You'll have two before you for your consideration today, two of the 10 that we have announced. These are things like the Princeton AI Hub, which we actually cut the ribbon on a week or two weeks ago in Princeton on Alexander Road, right by Route 1. And you know, the governor often says, you know, you're judged by the company you keep, citing his late mother, who used to say that a fair bit. To see the EDA logo next to Princeton University, Microsoft, and the now public and you know, quite well-valued CoreWeave, good company to be in, and not something you get to see every day. So really, really proud of all that. And then the Urban Investment Fund, we continue to get the word out and celebrate those awards. I was with both mayors of Patterson and Passaic in the city of Patterson to celebrate the awards we made to both those cities. We'll be doing some more of those in New Brunswick and Newark and Camp and Trenton coming soon. So we continue just to push forward. The other thing I'd mention is on Monday, the applications open for CAFE. We had a special board meeting in January to approve those rules. That application is now open. And so continue to push forward on lots of different fronts. You have in front of you also the board dashboard. I won't go through it line by line, but just again, another example of or another refresh on the notion that, yes, of course, lots of activity happens at these board meetings. Also, a lot happens in between them. So things like, you know, the manufacturing voucher program approvals, child care approvals, small business approvals that don't necessarily come to this board but are incredibly important all happened. $161 million worth of approvals in the month of March alone through the first quarter, a little more than $650 million. So just a huge impact on our economy and, again, deep appreciation of our team for doing your job overseeing all those things. The other things you have just in terms of handouts, Chairman mentioned the tours. You have a little one-pager, front and back pagers, fair sheets on NJPAC and PACs, the exciting impact that that is having. At our last board meeting, Kathleen Correct and we had the first Evergreen Award to a HACS participants of the sort of the value chain of supporting companies really early on, and as they grow and hopefully scale and thrive and turn into great big companies that pay good wages and build a lot of buildings and support lots of good family sustaining jobs. That cycle is taken into higher gear. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions. If not, back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions? All right, hearing none, let's move to the public comment section of the meeting. I will now open the public comment portion of the meeting. First, I'll ask Danielle Esser to chair the NJEDA public comment policy and process for this board meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I also just wanted to acknowledge that Commissioner Angelo has arrived and Manuel Paulino representing will be Commissioner Zimmerman on the floor. Members of the public who wish to speak during the public comment period will be acknowledged to speak first in person, then by Microsoft Teams, and then by phone. Members attending the members of the public attending via Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comments. Each person will be acknowledged to speak one at a time in the order of hands raised. Once acknowledged, please unmute yourself to provide comments. All members of the public must remain muted following the public comment portion of the meeting. A staff member may mute you if you are unable to remain muted and or may remove someone from the meeting. Members of the public attending by who are interested in providing comment will be advised to press star, then one to be registered to speak, which will place each person into a queue to speak and provide comments based on the order received. Now we'll share the NJEDA's public comment policy, which is also available on the NJEDA website. Each speaker will be prompted to speak one at a time. Each speaker should announce his or her name, organization affiliation, and the topic on which the remarks will be given. Each speaker will have a maximum of 3 minutes to speak and should limit comments to matters pertaining to the authority. Staff will prompt the speaker once their time has expired. A person may not register to speak more than once during the same public comment period to ensure enough time is available for all those who wish to speak. Related documents, printed comments, or materials may be attached to an email. We look forward to receiving your public comments at this time.
Thank you, Danielle. I'd now like to acknowledge any members of the public who wish to provide comment at this time. Anyone in the room who wishes to speak? Okay, seeing none, operator, could you go to anyone on the phone, please?
Ladies and gentlemen, for members of the public on the phone, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question by pressing star then two. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, you may use star then one at this time. One moment to see if we have any questions. And I am showing no questions.
Do we have to check Teams as well?
So we did that.
We did that. Okay. And no.
Oh, wait, no, we didn't do that. Is there anybody? Yeah, you have to do Teams. I apologize. Yep. Folks on Teams now if they want to.
Anyone on Teams who wishes to make a comment, I think you hit the raise hand feature.
They can unmute.
Or can unmute. Seeing none. Okay, we will now consider the public comment section closed. As we do at every board meeting, we give committee reports. The committees meet between board meetings, and the items that you will hear today were discussed at the committee meeting before coming to the board. The policy committee met twice on March 27th and again on April 3rd and considered several items which are being presented for action today. Highlights include a recommendation for the creation of a Route 80 Business Assistance Grant Program. Under the New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Fund, a recommendation for a qualified investment approval. a recommendation for the creation of two new strategic innovation centers, and a recommendation to approve the Employee Stock Ownership Plan Assistance Program. Staff will present on each of these items on today's agenda. So moving on with the agenda under authority matters, Bruce, on the use of Economic Recovery Fund for the creation of the Route 80 Business Assistance Grant Program.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning.
Before you, the recommendation for the creation of an initial pilot for the Route 80 Business Assistance Grant Program with $5 million from the Economic Recovery Fund. We're going to make that available to certain Morris County, New Jersey small and medium-sized businesses that would suffer a negative financial impact as a result of the Route 80 sinkholes. There is also a delegation to the CEO to accept an additional $15 million from other governmental sources, as well as to do the approvals, as well as apply any additional qualifications that might be needed and necessary. Some background on Route 80. Starting in December of 2024, there were sinkholes that appeared on Route 80 near Exit 34 on March 8th. Governor signed a state of emergency for Morris County with the closure of the exit at Route 34. This obviously impacted small businesses throughout the area, and this program here is set up to try to help them, give it a little initial lifeline of funding to help them get through the next couple of months as the closure will go on for a little bit, and we're not sure exactly when it may end, but that's what this program is here for, to give a little bit of a lifeline. Some of the program details. It's going to be available from sole props up to 50 full-time equivalent employees. It'll range from a minimum grant of $1,000 to a maximum grant of $15,000. The size will depend on the amount of full-time equivalent employees one has, as well as the negative financial impact that they've suffered as a result of the Route 34 closures. From zero to five full-time equivalent employees, they will receive a grant up to $5,000. 6 to 20 will receive a grant up to $10,000. 21 to 50 will receive a grant up to $15,000. It will be limited based on the negative financial impact they may have had as a result of the sinkhole. The application process will be a tiered approach to try to help those in the immediate impact to make sure that we have funding available for those closest to Exit 34. So the first tier of funding will be available to those businesses within 5 miles of the exit closure. If funding is still available, we will then open it up to those within 10 miles. If funding is still available, we'll then open it up to all of Morris County businesses. The application and approval process will be a simplified application. It's going to be similar to how we handled our COVID business grant program, as well as our Henry Aida program. I want to thank our partners at Taxation, at Treasury, at DOL, as they're going to help us in this process to get the information of these businesses in electronic format, so we could do an automated review and not have the time consuming of looking at documents and things of that nature. We can do some algorithms and whatnot to make decisions on these applications in a much quicker process. With that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Bruce, I think we discussed this in committee. I think it'd be interesting for board members to hear, to the last point, how we're using the information, because I think it's pretty smart how we're using labor to figure out if they have employees, right, and how we sort of test it.
Sure. So some of the pieces, so the first part is on the labor side, we collect WR30 information from the businesses. What we can also do is, and we have an MOU that's already been executed, and we've actually started doing this effective back in 2020 when all of the task force pieces came out to validate that there were actual jobs in the state and people were working there, as they said. So we review the WR30 data, we look at their wages, we look at their week's work, and we can make a determination of what the full-time equivalent would be for that business. So yes, we're collecting information from the applicant, but then we're validating it through the secondary source, which is what they actually report to the state of New Jersey. Similarly, with taxation, we're able to then send them in a secure file the EINs of all the businesses that are funded. They will then come back to us with the tax clearance, the registration information of the business, as well as other information of are they a sole prop versus are they registered as an LLC, and all of those other pieces. We also can use that data to then take a look at a reasonableness test of what their financial loss would be. So we could look at their 2024 financial and say, okay, maybe $1 million last year, a $10,000 loss in the first quarter is reasonable in order to make the determination of the award. all this stuff is reported to us by the applicant, but at the same time, we're able to validate it through secondary sources outside of what the applicant provides.
Bruce was in the government efficiency before he was pulled.
Well, it's a way, I mean, we again discussed this at committee, I think, pretty extensively. It's a way to deploy funds quickly, check, you know, ensure that there's no fraud. There's a risk that after the fact we're monitoring compliance and you do find things, but the goal of this program is to get funds to people who need it quickly. And I just note for, again, people, this is, we had a special policy committee meeting on this last week to accelerate the approval. And just to be clear, $5 million initial grant, another $15 million CEO's discretion.
Not from, so the $5 million essentially from our balance sheet, from
the balance
recovery fund. We're not seeking approval to go beyond that $5 million on the balance sheet if money falls from the sky from the federal government or, Aaron, I'm not asking for more money. Don't get me in trouble with Liz. If there was budget funding that became available, we'd be able to take it and add it to the pot. At the present time, I have no reason to anticipate that that would happen, but didn't want to bother you guys again if it did happen.
So our balance sheet uses up to $5
million. Maximum $5 million. I think we do, it is a reasonable expectation that we will be fully subscribed here. Based on the number of businesses in Orange County, the impact and size of the grants.
And the program was announced last week.
The governor put out a press release announcing our. And that's that you were considering it. It's not fully announced yet.
And have we heard reaction yet? It's
generally pretty positive.
Positive, as well as along with this money, is also a Small Business Administration. They also recently allowed for EIDL, the Economic Injury Disaster Loans, which is up to $2 million. That's a loan. This is a grant. It can be used in tandem as well to try to help those businesses. So there's press release of both of those pieces for the support of our staff.
Good idea. The special universe seems to be pretty large.
Yeah, so that's where the 5 miles came from. We wanted to make sure we were able to target the businesses there. So we looked at all of the businesses that have applied to us from COVID on, including all of the business programs and all the micro programs and things like that. We should, knock on wood, have enough to. If all those entities apply, we should be able to fund all of those within the 5 miles. All of them might not have the financial impact and all those other pieces to it. So then once we expand out, that's why we believe we'll be oversubscribed. We just don't know when that period.
I want to say this is awesome, to be honest. I mean, to show the adaptability, the flexibility of this organization to come up with something so intense on such a short timeline, just really another great sign of the laser work that's done here.
Something so needed.
Yeah.
Really neat. Thank you.
Anyone on the phone? Questions or comments?
The only thing I know is we're going to do a ton of outreach. Get through today. But then do a bunch of outreach to make sure small businesses know when the magic day is you have to apply and how to do it. We are, for better or for worse, we've gotten pretty good at doing these kinds of things between COVID and Sandy and his predecessor and Hurricane Ida.
My goal is to launch no later than the end of this month and to have approval shortly there.
Any further comments, questions? So hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Thank you.
All any further comments? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the program is approved. Thank you. Next, another exciting approval of a Evergreen Fund qualified investment.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm here today to present the Venture's recommendation for the EDA's fifth qualified investment under the New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Fund program. The program investment recommended for funding today is an application by Affinity Capital for $3 million co-investment into the Series B3 preferred stock financing round for Vanquish Technologies, an innovative biomanufacturing company which is in the process of growing their operations in New Jersey. The program will reserve additional programming and $20,000 for related management fee expenses, $215,000 for direct administrative expenses, and $2 million for future follow-on investments. Our applicant and its venture firm partner for this investment is Acuity Capital, They were approved as a program qualified venture firm under delegated authority in October 2024. Acuity Capital was established in 2021 and launched their first $150 million fund in 2022. They have executed 12 investments to date, totaling $84 million, and are currently raising their second fund, which is planned for to be $350 million. Acuity Capital invests in life sciences, medical devices and diagnostics, and digital health companies across early and later stage opportunities. The investment that we recommended is going to go into Enquist Technologies, an innovative biomanufacturing technology company that has developed an advanced modular equipment and process platform to enhance biomanufacturing, specifically in the purification of complex drugs. The company's core innovation is its patented technology, which provides higher product purity, superior process and product control, higher yields, and reduced costs and waste. Enquist was founded in Boston, Massachusetts, where the technology has been developed, but it's pivoting its core operations in New Jersey as a result of the proposed investment, a program investment, and to leverage the state's strong biotech assets. Enquist is led by Dr. Jason Pastrone, who has an extensive background in manufacturing R&D. Dr. Pastrone leads a team of six full-time employees with 10 additional technical hires extracted following the fundraise, primarily in New Jersey. Three out of Enquist, six full-time employees currently work in New Jersey in their office in Short Hills. The company is also contemplating either leasing another facility in Short Hills or relocating to a larger space in Princeton to accommodate the projected expansion of the team and operations following the firm. The EDH investment will be part of an up to $20 million financing round for Series B preferred shares that Enquist will use to grow its team to achieve the technical milestones of its alpha phase of development and enable small volume equipment manufacturing for early adopters with engaged equipment CDMO partner. So I will conclude my remarks by reiterating our team's recommendation for approval of the application for investment. And thank you for your consideration and happy to answer any questions.
Thanks for a comment. We talked about in my CEO remarks, but last month we did the first graduate or output of an SIC. This is, we think, the first, company that is moving to Jersey to access this program, which was another part of the sort of the thesis of that this would be attractive enough as somebody from Cambridge or that city over there, Brandon, New Jersey, New York, would jump across the river. So this is starting to do what we hoped it was going to do.
Kathleen, you want to just remind us what our total pot of, how many companies we have done now? We've done five.
Approval and very different portfolio composition, right? So some tech, some software, is the second life science company. Both are med device, no drug development ones yet. Obviously bigger check sizes on the life science side than on the software side. And, that is sort of the thesis of this, to have a very diverse portfolio with different managers, right, coming in at different stages.
And are dollars committed at this point, roughly?
Well, up $26 million of unallocated available, assuming this investment's approved.
So how much have we invested?
Started with around 50.
So 24?
Yeah, we're going 41 down to, we have a bunch of it still reserved for follow-ons. But.
Great. Questions? Comments? Anyone on the phone? Questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, can I hear our motion to approve?
Robert Shimko.
Thanks, Robert. Second?
Second.
Thank you. Any further questions? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the investment is approved. Next on, we have two strategic innovation centers. Tim.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Let me see this at the table. We've got lovely pictures behind you. So I'll just offer the recommendation, but please enjoy the great here.
So it's a pleasure to be with you this morning to offer our recommendation for an investment of up to $15 million to form the NJ AI Hub LLC in partnership with great friends, CoreWeave Inc., Microsoft Corporation, and Princeton University. The AI Hub will serve as an exchange and an institute built on three strategic pillars, including corporate research and development, to drive integration of AI into core industries, like life science and energy. Acceleration and commercialization to catalyze innovation from early stage businesses, leveraging support from resources like the Microsoft TechSmart program, and workforce development to build pathways into the AI workforce through support of industry, including apprenticeships and internships and skill building. The hub will foster partnerships among academia, industry, and government, ultimately to drive socially responsible and inclusive innovation to develop AI enhancements in a region and beyond. Physically, as you saw, the AI hub will be located inside 619 Alexander Road, West Windsor. It's a 7,700 square foot flexible use space available for offices and convening of parties to get together and work on their innovations. The hub will be managed by the four partners with day-to-day oversight by the executive director of the hub, initially on secondment from Princeton University, with intention to expand the staff to dedicated functions like business development, three pillars to promote sustainability of the hub beyond EDA's 5 years of funding. In the months ahead, the AI hub will bring on an accelerator manager and work to stand up an investment fund for companies coming out of the AI hub. And with that, I'll conclude reiterating the request for approval of $15 million commitment to help catalyze the AI hub LLC, including authorization to CEO to execute all documents required in the operating agreement, and a 4.5% administrative fee to the EDA plus associated priority legal costs as allowed by the IRF statute.
Can you remind us of the funding source for this?
This is an appropriation, so we've been appropriated nearly $250 million over the budget cycles for Virginia Innovation Center. This is from that funding source. State funding.
Comments, questions? Anyone on the phone, comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve? Thanks, Rob. Thank you, Phil. No further discussions. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes.
Second. Yeah, my pleasure to recommend. And commitment up to $5.8 million, including $1.2 million for the NJII Venture Studio LLC, $4.6 million for the NJII Fund 1 LLC, two meaningful and limited liability companies that combine to form a strategic innovation center. The Venture Studio model works to ideate, build, scale early stage startups, leveraging shared resources and infrastructure, with the objective to fully launch a business into a proven market. Our venture studio will look to launch 8 to 10 startup companies to localize healthcare and technology IP from the IP, our academic partner, or other universities in state and beyond. The venture studio here looks to build on NJII's success prior related initiative, supporting the growth of startups, the physical space, business training, and access to advisors and other infrastructure. The fund component will make pre-seed and seed investments to work to scale those businesses. So, NJII, the New Jersey Innovation Institute, was founded in 2014, subsidiary of NJIT. NJII, if you don't know, works to foster innovation and economic development in the state. The studio will be located at the Profeta Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, which works to support NJIT students and Newark becoming future entrepreneurs, innovators, and business leaders. The studio here will also partner with Cornucopian Capital Management, which is worth noting they are a qualified venture firm on the New Jersey Innovation Evergreen platform as well. The studio and the fund will be capitalized on a one-to-one basis by EDA and NJII for a total amount of $11.6 million. I'll conclude reiterating the request for approval of the $5.8 million commitment to help capitalize the NJII Venture Studio, including authorizations and CEO to execute all documents required, and a 4.5% administrative fee to the EDA plus associated authority legal costs as allowed by the Bureau of Statute.
Questions? And will the venture studio make investments?
It will, yeah. So effectively, the venture studio will grab onto IP from inside the university. We're going to pair that with entrepreneurs to build investments. The studio will retain a piece of ownership, and the fund will come in subsequently and expand the work of that.
So I guess my question is, will we end up with an equity ownership stake in that?
You will, yeah. The studio will. So EDA will always retain ownership in the studio.
Which will then, great. So then the question just Princeton, on the AI hub there, do we have ownership in anything?
At present, we have ownership in the AI Hub LLC,
right,
which is an institute. But what we'll look to do is, in the future, I think it was announced already, actually expand out a separate fund that could take ownership of it.
Which would invest in companies that are spawned out of the
various ICOs. Yes, yes.
Well, no, it's interesting that there's a difference in the two, right?
Yeah, the SIC program is by far our most sort of custom suit program. Initiative because we could customize them basically to the needs of the various partners. Mm-hmm. Always 100% of the time, though, our funding is an equity investment in something.
Right.
Either it's the entity, like it was in the Princeton one, which we're a part owner of, or in the Helix. Sometimes we are also an LP or a supersized LP in funds. Vastly more upside in those structures than there is in owning some portion of a nonprofit.
Correct. Any questions, comments? Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve? Thank you, Josh. Second?
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussions? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion is approved. Great, good luck. Thanks, Tim. All right, now we're moving to Clean Energy Max on the hydrogen demonstration project MOU with Rutgers.
You'll be demonstrating it right now?
Oh, good.
Okay, great. Something that hydrogen doesn't feel like a hydrogen reaction.
Fortunately, the researcher hit it vertical. Not the technology, but the equipment.
Yeah.
All right, so members of the board, today, I am presenting a memo regarding MOU between EDA and Rutgers University. This MOU will provide Rutgers with up to $13 million of EDA's Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, or REGI, funds from the 2020 to 2022 REGI Strategic Funding Plan to undertake a hydrogen demonstration project at the Port of Newark. To further the state's efforts to reduce emissions from the transportation sector, the funding will enable Rutgers to deploy Class 8 hydrogen fuel cell electric vehicles to demonstrate the technology as a safe, reliable, economical, and clean alternative to diesel and battery electric vehicles. The university will also be responsible for developing a comprehensive report. Throughout the project, EDA will disperse the funds in a series of installments contingent upon Rutgers meeting project milestones as set forth in the MOU. Prior to EDA dispersing any funds, Rutgers will be responsible for submitting proof of costs that are to be incurred, and subsequently, Rutgers will be responsible for submitting proof of costs that have been incurred prior to EDA dispersing the following tranche of funds. Using the funds, Rutgers will be responsible for procuring 6 hydrogen fuel cell trucks, a mobile fueling system, hydrogen fuel, signage, barriers, and power, amongst other items. These 6 trucks will be operated by up to 2 transportation logistics companies with operations based out of the port to be identified by Rutgers. The duration of operations will be 1 year, during which time the trucks will operate as drayage trucks, meaning they will be driven from the port to the next location and back. As the trucks operate, Rutgers will gather raw data to assess the vehicle's feasibility, and this data will focus on economic and environmental factors, including but not limited to total cost of ownership and tailpipe emissions. Rutgers will submit regular progress reports to the authority every 3 months for the duration of the project, which will include information pertaining to funding, procurement, health and safety, equipment operations, vehicle mileage, fuel consumption, and maintenance. Upon completion of the project, Rutgers will compile all of this, in addition to other pertinent information, into a final report evaluating the economics and emissions of the hydrogen fuel cell electric trucks. The findings from this report will be made publicly available with EDA's approval. Following 12 months of operations, the vehicles will be repurchased by the vehicle manufacturer, and any payment back to Rutgers resulting from this buyback will be remitted to the authority. The project aims to position the state as a leader in clean hydrogen innovation, support workforce development, create positive long-term economic impact, and promote climate mitigation and energy justice in overburdened communities. Similar projects have proven successful at California's Port of LA and Port of Long Beach, but this will be the first of a kind in the Northeast. In closing, this memo is to request the approval for EDA to enter into this MOU with Rutgers, as well as for the delegated authority to the CEO to approve of a one-year extension and to also approve of each disbursement of funds. Thank you, and happy to take any questions.
Who will be driving the trucks? Are they leasing them to a private entity?
Yeah, so Rutgers will be purchasing the trucks, and then they will be leasing them for a dollar to private drayage truck companies.
Do you know which ones? Or
we have one of them. Yeah, Best Transportation is one of them. We are figuring out the second one right now.
Are they subject to our clearance procedures?
We put in our MOU basically all of our clearance procedures, so Rutgers is responsible for fulfilling everything we would do normally.
The fueling station, is that being built now, or is it built out, or is part of this?
Good question. It is all temporary infrastructure with the exception of, you know, a concrete pad if we need it. And it will be everything that it will all be installed with prevailing wage. And it will be essentially a tractor trailer without the actual, you know, truck part. And that's the entire fueling system. It's all in one 18-wheeler, you know, 53-foot container.
So it'll be manufactured somewhere else, shipped in, and just...
Yep, exactly. Yep. We have identified a spot at the port, and we are working with the port to work through the leasing. And by we, I mean the project team being, you know, Rutgers, subcontractor, media.
Is the delivery time for the hydrogen trucks, is that they readily available? Or?
Yeah, they are readily available, both the trucks and the fueler. There's a little lead time on them, but we hope to have operations active at the port by the summer. So, yep, definitely within the current administration. Of course, then we'll roll over to the next administration because it's going to operate for a year, but we'll have them.
Source of the funding?
REGI.
And just talk about sort of how this fits into REGI.
Sure. Yep. So REGI, one of REGI's key components is decarbonizing transportation, which is the state's largest source of emissions. Specifically in the 2023 and 2025 plan, it specifically calls out a clean hydrogen project. This is that project. This has been in the works for over 2 years now. We issued an RFI a little over 2 years, and pretty much all of the responses came back saying that we really need to focus our efforts on hydrogen in the port communities because they are overwhelmingly burdened with emissions. I think, Tim, either you pointed out yesterday or someone else pointed out at the event yesterday that we are essentially downwind of the entire country's emissions. Everything comes here. So, you know, plus all of the emissions that are around New York City, Newark, Newport, everything. So you're focusing our efforts.
But is this part of the overall REGI plan or New Jersey's sub-piece of the REGI plan?
New Jersey's sub.
New Jersey's plan.
Yeah.
The best analogy is there is not a regional plan for how to use the money. It's given states, but states chop it up. And
yeah.
Governed by statute.
There's regional auction and then states specific plans.
Two editorial observations. One, there's been some discussion at the federal level about hydrogen projects and some funding getting pulled back. This is not federal funding. If there's a huge policy shift to federal level around hydrogen, it probably doesn't bode well for the future of hydrogen adoption, at least in the short term, but can't really control that. It does not impact this. Second is, if you are a buyer of the notion that hydrogen can be an important part of a clean energy future, it's in things like heavy haul transportation and diesel trucks, because those are really hard to decarbonize. And I'm no scientist, but electric vehicles, you know, turning a cement truck into a Prius is probably not going to work long term. So having a hydrogen fuel source that could work, in theory, maybe, we'll see, it works, is a path to sort of decarbonizing or at least lowering emissions from some of the hardest to decarbonize parts of the economy.
Does this fulfill one of the objectives in the state's energy master plan? Was hydrogen identified in?
Wait, it's a great question. I don't know off the top of my head. Is hydrogen in the EMP, Lisa? Is hydrogen in the EMP?
Any further questions? We have a field trip coming up.
You may drive.
I was going to say Rob would drive the truck.
Being at the port in the summer is really
exactly.
All right. Any further questions, comments? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second it, Jamara.
Thank you. Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any recusals, any opposed recusals or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, it is approved. Good luck. Ahmed, on Green Workforce Training Grant Challenge.
Artisan requested to approve four applications and their respective grant award for the NJ Green Workforce Training Grant Challenge, totaling $4,049,987, utilizing funds from the March 2024 Green Council Memorandum of Understanding between the EDA and the Department of Environmental Protection, and to decline all other applications regardless of funding source for this challenge. The four applicants that are being requested to be awarded are under the EDA DT funding are the Elizabeth Development Company of New Jersey, Ideal Education, a NJ nonprofit corporation, New Jersey Environmental Justice Alliance, Inc., and Hugo New Realty Management. Two funding courses were approved for this grant challenge, which allowed for a total of $7 million to be available for awards, utilizing $4.35 million funded from the EDA DT MOU and $2.65 million from the October 2023 Offshore Wind Sector Initiative MOU between the EDA and the Winter Solar Public. Grant applicants were required to propose programs focused on at least one, but no more than two of eligible green economy industries under the EDA funding. The minimum and maximum amounts for individual awards were set at $250,000 and $1.5 million respectively. Grant applicants, EDA received 17 applications for the grant challenge. Two of these applications were declined and not scored as they did not submit one or more of the required documents after notification and a defined offer period. Of the remaining 15 applications, 10 scored an 80 or above and 5 scored below 80, which is the minimum score required to be considered for an award out of a total of 100 points. I will now present the four applications that we are recommending for an award under the EADC funding. The first awardee is the Elizabeth Development Company of New Jersey. That's a community-based organization and 501c3 nonprofit. They will be collaborating with Dimension Energy to provide hands-on instructor-led North American board-certified energy practitioners solar technician training course that will take place in person in Elizabeth and Jersey. The program focuses on the overburdened communities in Union, Hudson, and Essex counties. The green economy industry they selected is other renewable energy technology. The budget for their program is $500,000, and their proposal received a score of 94 out of 100. The second awardee is Ideal Education, a NJ nonprofit organization. They will be training individuals for the NJ clean energy program installers and weatherization and energy auditor occupations. The training will take place in person in Pleasantville, as well as utilizing a mobile hands-on training unit and a virtual platform. The program focuses on the overburdened communities in South Jersey. They will be collaborating with the Coalition for a Safe Community and the Community Strategies and Solutions, both of which are community-based organizations that work in with the overburdened communities in South Jersey. The green economy industries selected are energy efficiency and green design and construction. The budget for the program is $1.5 million, and the proposal received a score of 93. The third awardee is New Jersey Environmental Justice Alliance, Inc. They are a CBO and 501c3 nonprofit, and they will be providing training in building and thermal systems, weatherization, and heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. They will be partnering with Soulful Synergy, Green Tech Leaders, and OMB Economic Development Corporation. The training will be hybrid. And in-person and will take place in Newark for the in-person portion. The program focuses on the overburdened communities in Newark. The green economy industries they selected are energy efficiency and green design and construction. The budget for their program is $1,373,000, and the proposal received a score of 92. Lastly, the fourth authority is Hugo New Realty Management. They are a limited liability company, and they will be conducting a training module for green stormwater infrastructure occupations, as well as electric vehicle and clean transportation. The training will be hybrid, and the in-person portion of the training will take place in Kearney. They will be collaborating with New Jersey Reentry and that studio works with individuals who promote their system. Their program focuses on the overburdened communities across the entire state of New Jersey. The green economy industries they selected are clean transportation and environmental and green infrastructure. Their application was the fourth highest scoring proposal. However, their initial funding request of $1,499,761 placed the cumulative funding request above the funding cap of $4.35 million dedicated under the EDA-BP MOU. As a result, EDA staff requested a revised budget scope from them, which was reported and accepted by EDA. Their new budget is $976,987, and their proposal has received a score of 93.33 out of 100. With these four awards, a total of $13 from the funding pool of $4.35 million under the EDA-DP MOU will not be utilized and will not be awarded. In addition, the $2.65 million funding pool under the EDA-DPU MOU will not be utilized since all applications eligible under that funding pool source were below the minimum required score of 80. The applicants that met the minimum score of 80 but were not selected due to funding limits under the EDA-DPU MOU and are therefore recommended for declination are APEC Solutions Foundation, IELTS, New Jersey Institute of Technology, New Jersey Innovation Institute, Local Union 164 Electrical Joint Apprenticeship and Training Trust Fund, and Urban League of Ethics. The applicants that did not meet the minimum score of 80 and are recommended for declination, regardless of funding source, are Southward Environmental Alliance, Hunterdon County Vocational School District, Egg Harbor Township School District, Apollo Gardening, and Cavalry Baptist Community Center. Thank you, and I can take any questions if you have.
Great stuff. Some of these folks are also grantees of ours over multiple programs. But I do want to ask, I'd seen here about, I'm happy to have placement goals. Did the application speak to their potential employer partners?
Yes, we did require them to work with industry and develop proposals that looked at providing the overburdened residents of New Jersey with opportunities that connect them to jobs. So all of the applicants were scored based on having that level of employer engagement.
Great. Those are brilliant. And I think they give us to see two school districts apply for this. We're really trying to get some of these VOTECs to be more active in this, in our world and stuff.
I have one question on the funding source. In here it refers to an offshore wind grant. Are we repurposing that money? Because none of these are focus on offshore wind, correct?
Correct. Probably there's actually two grants of funding here. The wind one we're not proceeding with at the present moment.
So we're not.
Yeah.
That's not a source of funding.
Correct. It is. The application taken in parallel for wind oriented ones, tabling that, for lack of a word. Given all the givens, and then this is the leftover or the second piece, first. Right.
And on that, also,
you should say so because it matters.
And on the offshore wind BPU funded stream, there was no qualified candidates that are still out.
Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Dragon, motion.
Elizabeth, second.
Second, Marcia.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion is approved.
Here, hold on a second. Mr. Shimko, are you recusing?
Yeah, I'm going to have to recuse. Just in case if funding does come available, I do have with a 164. Congratulations. Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay, so noting Robert Shimko's recusal, any other? Okay, so the motion is approved. Okay, next, Brianna, on the Employee Stock Ownership Plan Assistance Program.
Good
morning.
Morning. Today, I'm presenting three requests for approval. The first is for the Employee Stock Ownership Plan, or ESOP, Assistance Program. We will also be requesting the delegation of the authority CEO to approve individual requests of up to $35,000. as well as a fee waiver, given that the program is under the three-year pilot limit, and also to alleviate some of the financial risk of seeking some of these services. The impetus for a statewide employee ownership program came about during the Wealth Disparities Task Force, assembled by Governor Murphy in 2021. The employee ownership and ESOPs in particular are an ownership model that can prove beneficial for both owners and workers. They encourage employee engagement, retention, and provide succession planning opportunities for owners. It's forecasted that tens of trillions of dollars are going to be subject to what some are coining the great wealth transfer, and I'm not talking about what's happened in the last few days, in the next few decades. And we know that some of this includes business owners who are seeking innovative ways to plan succession planning and continue their legacies through their retirement. And so statewide efforts to encourage employee ownership options are very topical right now. Anticipating some hurdles to designing this program, we issued an RFI back in April 2024 and received responses with information from both current ESOPs and other jurisdictional employee ownership programs. The RFI responses highlighted the financial risk that some businesses take on seeking these feasibility studies, which is essentially the first step in transitioning to an employee ownership structure. And then for statewide programs, the biggest hurdle really seemed to be the administration of these services, technical services specifically. With that information in mind, last July, we entered into an MOU with Frucker School of Management and Labor Relations that in part enabled the school to assist us in developing the program, as well as aid in some outreach and education for to engage interested businesses in transitioning them and directing them. In September 2024, procurement issued an RFP seeking proposals from firms that could provide ESOP feasibility study services for interested businesses through the assistance program. We received proposals from two firms, Onyx Partners Group and Lazier Capital Partners, who were responsive and ultimately awarded the bid and approved by the board in September. Under the proposed assistance program, interested businesses will submit an application that will capture the eligibility criteria, which requires the interested businesses to be located in New Jersey, of course, with at least 20 full-time employees and is in good standing with state agencies. Businesses will be connected on a rotating basis to the aforementioned firms. The firm will then issue a proposal for the client's review and approval and the NJEDA's staff's review and project approval prior to providing the feasibility study services to the client. And I just wanted to note here, since we did mention it during the February board meeting, during the approvals process for the contractors, we were able to have an opportunity to discuss with some of the contractors on some of the additional eligibility criteria we were considering, and ultimately concluded that with their expertise, of course, that additional requirements wouldn't really produce the outcomes intended for this program, which are, of course, ensuring businesses have support and the technical assistance they need to embark upon the ESOP journey, encouraging exploration of these employee ownership models, and ultimately growing the number of New Jersey-based ESOPs, which is currently at 88. Again, to reiterate, we are recommending approval of the ESOP program, as well as delegation to approve individual requests for this feasibility study services up to $35,000 for interested business, and the waiver of the application fee.
Questions? Again, just reminding all this, because we've talked about this before.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
The idea here is we're going to provide the financial support for a business to go sit down with a financial advisor, one of the two designated firms, and determine whether an ESOP is feasible. Is that basically?
Yes. In addition, what comes out of a feasibility study is usually recommendations to get the business to that place where an ESOP transition is feasible. Part of those services are delivered after that feasibility study is complete. So we're kind of in the process of understanding what the next step might be for the next iteration of this program, because we do want to provide that actual transition assistance eventually.
But this, we're not financing an ESOP.
No, we are not financing. That's why we designed the
Nor are we providing advice.
And no, we are not. It sounds like a good securities.
Exactly.
We're not. Yeah, we're
exactly.
not
no representations or warranties. No.
Correct. And that's part of why we designed it in this way.
And do you? I think we talked about this before. Do you have any sense for level of interest?
Yeah. So part of our partnership with the School of Management and Labor Relations was, a way to engage businesses because they already receive a lot of inquiries about. Services. They receive about 20 a month. We're expecting about 10 applicants a month. Again, we kept some of the eligibility requirements pretty broad because business can really be an ESOP as long as you meet like minimum criteria, like having at least 20 employees in order for the employee-owned trust to kind of operate in the way that it should.
Questions? Any other questions or comments? Really interesting to see what the uptake and results are.
Editorial commentary that may be going out of fashion in other places, but here in Jersey, under Governor Murphy's leadership, economic inclusion, inclusive economic growth is something we're going to continue to fight like hell for.
Here, here.
Okay, hearing no further questions or comments, could I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you, Phil. Second?
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, it's approved. We look forward to hearing your updates, Brianna. Thank you. Marcia, do you want to give us a quick loan review committee report?
Very quickly. We met on March 25th. To discuss one item, the creation of New Jersey Loan Expansion and Network Development Pilot Program, or New Jersey Loan. As we thought, the creation, also the funding, which is the Economic Recovery Fund, and then delegation to the authority CEO to approve.
Thank you.
I'll turn it back over.
Thank you. So now we will go to approval of that item.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Staff is requesting the approval of the creation of the New Jersey Loan Program, or ending the New Jersey Loan Expansion and Network Development Pilot Program. It's a 3-year initiative designed to expand NJDEA's existing small business funding program and to help address the evolving and increasing capital needs of New Jersey businesses in response to rising costs associated with real estate operations and equipment. Staff is also requesting the approval of the utilization of $30 million from the Economic Recovery Fund to support this new business initiative and delegation of authority to approve eligible applications. For some background, NJDEA has nearly 50 years of experience providing direct loans and bank participation through programs like the Direct Loan Program and the Premier Lender Program. These existing programs have lending limits capped at $2 million. And both have enabled job creation, business expansion, and capital investment across the state today. The purpose of the pilot program, NJ Lend, is to effectively provide businesses with access to increased levels of capital up to $5 million, while also maintaining NJDEA's structured risk management. This pilot will also allow us to assess market demand for these higher loan limits and use that data collected to inform potential rule changes. Next slide. NJ Lend builds upon the strengths of our existing programs and offers two flexible financing pathways. The primary difference between this program and our existing program is the $5 million max piece of lending cap. Eligible uses of funders include the purchase of or refinance of owner-occupied commercial real estate, equipment, and permanent working capital. For fixed assets, loans secured by equipment and real estate, NJDEA will provide direct financing of $1 million and working capital loans of $1 million, with terms and amortization dependent on the loan purpose and the useful life of collateral, including working capital terms up to 7 years, real estate terms up to 30 years, with a maximum loan to value of 100%, and a shipment up to 10 years, with maximum loan to value up to 90%.
for fixed asset loan participation with Premier Lenders and PNEDA and financed for $5 million, and for working capital participation in line of credit guarantees. Financing can be obtained for up to $1 million. Like the current Premier Lender program, NJLEN participation and guarantee options will allow NJEDA to cover up to 50% of a loan or line of credit originated by a Premier Lender not to exceed the program limit. This effectively reduces lender exposure and encourages lender-partner collaboration. No loans under NJLEN will exceed $5 million NJEDA exposure, and refinances are capped at $2.5 million. Similar to NJEDA existing loan programs, all loans under NJLEN must be fully secured, and the NJEDA interest rate will be fixed at closing, and is based on the equivalent term U.S. Treasury rate of 4.1%, whichever is higher, with basis points additions for credit risk in loan terms. For valuation, affirmative action requirements will apply if applicable, and as with the EDA, current business banking loan programs, all applications will undergo a full underwriting and risk assessment and are subject to review by NJEDA's credit underwriting department. To manage credit risk due to the increased lending limit, NJLEN will apply a risk rating threshold. What this means is that no loan will be approved under delegated authority if the default risk rating is below acceptable. Fees under this pilot program are also aligned with the current lending program rules. And as far as eligibility, eligible applicants include for-profit and nonprofit entities. Next slide, please. With a physical patient in New Jersey and no more than 750 New Jersey employees. Applicants must commit to creating and or retaining one full-time job for every 65,000 of NJEDA loan exposure with and be in substantial standing with NJEDA, the New Jersey Department of Labor, the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, and the Division of Taxation, provide a tax clearance in a legal frontier. For-profit businesses must have at least 2 to 4 years of operations, meet a 1.10 global debt coverage ratio, and personal guarantees are required. 50% of personal guarantors must have a minimum FICO score of 700. Nonprofits must have at least 3 years of operations, meet a 1.0 debt service coverage ratio, and are not required to provide personal guarantees. And finally, NJLEN applications will be accepted online and reviewed on a rolling basis until all funds are exhausted for the 3-year pilot period. So, thank you for your consideration.
Any questions?
Just a clarification question. Is it in our material, it says nonprofit, it says 3 years instead of two. Is it two or is it?
Nonprofits must have 3 years of operation for profit.
Any sense as to how, you know, in the, I'm sure I should know this, but our loan performance on these programs?
Is it credit?
Yeah, credit performance.
Yeah, lower gravity, I mean, obviously we can do a
right,
fuller
yeah.
briefing, but generally I break into two categories. One, you have the sort of core business banking, business lending stuff that is not COVID emergency related,
yes.
sort of small business recovery, but then they're in a category because that's a much higher risk appropriation fact. But generally speaking, with the lawyer in particular, generally speaking, our credit experience on these has been as expected and pretty good and strong when we are making
these personal secured loans against fixed assets, receivables, inventory, working capital.
And we have to when we have non-performance, we have a credit workouts group and a you know, I can live these a little every now and again. We have to go to court and do enforcement type stuff.
Right, we pursue these.
Yeah,
we treat these as real loans. Yes,
in every way. Yes.
Oh, okay. And yes, the memo does include a little bit more of background history, our experience as well. And just to kind of piggyback on just going on our experience, the underwriting team has a lot of experience led by the state lawyers team and doing the upfront review. Our business development team takes a consultative approach to determine eligibility while the applicant through the application. And like you mentioned, we have a portfolio team, global team, to help us manage the business.
Any
further comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve?
So moved, Ferrara.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Josh. Any further discussions? No, hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any recusals, abstentions, or opposition? Okay, hearing none, the motion is approved. Good luck. All right, next we're going to move to incentives. The NJEDA Incentives Committee met on March 26th and considered one item, which is being presented for action today. So, Chris, on film tax credit program.
EDA staff has completed the review and recommends the approval of one film project submitted by Apple Studios LLC. This is actually a reapplication for a project that was approved last year. Just a heads up. So this project for Apple Studios TV series called Wild Vale, also known by the alias Echo Valley. The project stars Julianne Moore, Sydney Sweeney, and they filmed in a few different areas of the state, but mainly centered around one farm in Huntington County. As part of the eligibility criteria for credits under the program, a production must meet one of two expense eligibility thresholds. First threshold is more than 60% of the total production expenses are incurred through New Jersey vendors. The second threshold is the production has to exceed $1 million in qualified film production expenses in a single privilege period. This project actually meets both eligibility thresholds with 85% of the total production expenses incurred through New Jersey vendors, and it includes a total qualified film production expense of $33.5 million. There's a 2% diversity bonus being awarded worth $671,102 for a total award of $12,335,600. We have an updated tax clearance certificate for the applicant. Sister agency checks and legal review are complete and they're clear. And we've also received the tax credit acknowledgement letter for this project. Happy to answer any questions or comments.
Any questions or comments? I would note that I am a shareholder in Apple. And out of an abundance of caution, I would recuse. I don't know if there are other shareholders at Apple.
Likewise.
I think we're going to run into a quorum issue.
I think we're okay if you don't want to recuse and move forward with voting on this. It was an abundance of caution, something that came up about 10 minutes before the meeting, but I think we're fine here.
Okay, under advice of the Office of the Attorney General, I'm okay in proceeding. Noted for the record. Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Did you get a first and a second? Oh, sorry. I got so excited.
Thank you, Phil. Second? Josh. Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? From hearing none, the motion passes. All right. Charles, real estate.
Chair, the Real Estate Committee met on March 27th to review two items that were presented by staff for today's consideration by the board. The first is the creation of an apprenticeship training center construction grant program, and the second one is a recommendation to approve a lease amendment at the New Jersey Bioscience Center. Staff will now then these two matters for the board's consideration. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman O'Sull and members of the board and EDA colleagues. Before you, with a memorandum requesting the following: creation of the Competitive Apprenticeship Training Center's construction grant program that will provide up to $9.7 million to support the development of facilities for use as training centers for USDLL registered apprenticeship programs located within New Jersey's overburdened communities. Utilization of a total of $10 million from the Workforce Development Partnership Fund, including $300,000 to support the authority's administrative costs for the program, a waiver of the application fee for the grant program, and delegation of authority to the Chief Executive Officer of the Authority to extend program timelines as deemed necessary to support program objectives. The goals of the program are to eliminate transportation barriers for residents of overburdened communities by locating training centers funded by this grant opportunity in said communities, enable access to low or no-cost training to participants that fulfill a workforce-related need in the building and construction trade, and position trainees to attain high-quality employment, and create positive economic and local benefits to the communities in which the training centers are located. Eligible applicants must be the sponsor of at least one registered apprenticeship training program as defined by the United States Department of Labor, Office of Apprenticeship, and has been in continuous operation as a sponsor for a minimum of 10 years at the time of application. And applicants are also required to be in and conduct training for the building and construction trades in the facility funded by this grant. Eligible projects must be new construction and or substantial rehabilitation of a facility in an overburdened community that will be used as a training center for a registered apprenticeship training program. This grant funding is for construction of the facility, not for the operations or programming taking place in the facility following construction completion. In order to provide grants and support projects by different entities, no applicant or applicant-related entity may receive more than one grant award. In addition, the authority will seek to make a minimum of one award per state region, identified as North, Central, and South, contingent upon the availability of funding. Regarding project costs, grant funding cannot exceed 70% of eligible project development costs per application, with the applicant contributing the remaining 30% value. For projects located in government-inflicted municipalities, grant funding may be up to 80% of project costs, with the applicant contributing the remaining 20%. Applicants that own or lease the project site must agree that there will be no change in the proposed project use for at least 5 years following project completion. The minimum grant award will be $500,000, and the maximum grant award will be $6.5 million per project. Funding will be dispersed on a drawdown basis following the receipt of proper documentation from the applicant. Thank you for your time and consideration. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Funding source here is
state money.
Yes, correct.
Can you explain the difference between the overburdened community or the government restricted municipalities?
Overburdened community is a dead
Mr. Shimka, are you recusing on this as well?
I will be, but I just want to
clarify. I think we should advise you to, you got a question during this. Apologies.
Sure.
And there's a general public interest in understanding GRMs and
communities.
GRMs are six specific communities outlined in statute that Trenton, Patterson, and Atlantic City, and then three more were just added: East Orange, New Brunswick, and Camden. They get the most attractive incentives in the general incentive.
That's a state
designation. It's a state of New Jersey designation only for the purpose of the Economic Recovery Act. You lean on it. That's a concentric field. And overburdened communities are, I hate to say everywhere, but lots of places. That's an EPA map designation.
EPA. The overburdened?
Yeah, it's DB, I'm sorry. Environmental experts. There are only six GRMs. There are lots of overburdened
Is the overburdened community state definition as well, or is it a federal state?
It's just state. Yep.
It's pretty expansive. It's not as small as you would think it would be.
Yeah.
Also, Mark, I'm always very excited about this partnership. One thing I must have asked earlier, I guess, is how the application timeline. I'm just thinking about, talking about, basically projects that are close to being shovel ready as part of the application process, but we're just announcing this now. When do we think will be the application deadline so folks can realize this is something they want and get all these their ducks in a row to even apply?
I'm looking at Jan because I'm thinking about the calendar. I think we plan to launch in June. And the application period would be 90 days. So taking that out, you could probably get two awards bring awards back to board sometime. November or December.
Issued an RFI, last year. So there's potentially interested parties have already been made aware that this was something that we were considering. Continue the outreach.
The notion that we were going to do something directionally this or substantively like
November
this.
November of 23.
Yep.
I just want to say thank you to the EDA staff, David, Jen, everybody. So much going on all the time, and to be on the building part of this just shows the amount of work that goes into something that hopefully will be successful. This is right up our alley at the Department of Labor. Apprenticeship is the gold standard because it's not just training. It is a job. I asked about job placement before, and this is sorely needed. At the Building Trades Conference in D.C. yesterday, and people were asking, hey, remember that thing you talked about 2 years ago? Like, just wait, just a couple of days. Because the need is certainly there, and the desire is there. And we fund a ton of training programs that are super well-intentioned in the state that don't have that, that aren't a job. And this is going to really give a path to folks to an amazing career, benefits, and family-sustaining wages, which is vitally important.
Hopefully, we have a shortage of construction labor in New Jersey.
Yes, oh, as always. And I give credit to everybody on this board, the Homework Administration, the legislature, made a proactive investment into building this workforce. Many know all public work in the state now have to have a contractor who's using a USO DORS apprenticeship program. The idea that our public dollars are going into building a talent pipeline, this just tracks with that exactly. And hopefully this will just be the first step, and hopefully there'll be more funding in the future. And I want to thank the New Jersey taxpayers. This comes out of the Workforce Development Partnership Fund, which is a deduction on everyone's payroll taxes up to a very little 0.0015 or something like that. But it adds up to about $150 million a year. Mm-hmm. Which is mostly dedicated to funds other places. I was able to figure out this funding here last year, and I'm just thrilled about this partnership.
Hang right back at you. Appreciate your leadership partnership. I remember I was in California doing film stuff when you called me and said, hey, we want to do a program to build some training centers in over communities to try and to do some good here. So it took some time, but the time to get it right, hopefully.
Yeah.
Much for my good.
Yeah, it's definitely new and innovative. Yeah. I mean, there's no other state doing something like this.
Any further comments, questions? Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Josh. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Refusals?
I'll be refused myself.
Robert noted?
Potential application?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Hearing none, the motion is approved. Juan, on the second lease amendment between ordering your Ingelheim Animal Health and the authority.
Requesting that the members approve the second lease amendment to the Boehringer lease for the Bioscience Center. The members of the board have to approve the amendment because the terms are inconsistent with the existing lease that expired on December 31st of last year, and the rental for a lease is ceased. Boehringer and the board staff have been trying to negotiate their lease amendment for a year, and it's only become last year, December 2024, Boehringer requested a waiver, a holdover rent by continuing to decide whether it's an expanded space. And staff officially has to advise them that only the board should be able under the terms of the lease. In mid-January of this year, Boehringer advised staff that they were going to move out of the center because its leasehold will not be adaptable to its future research, development, and production phase. Subsequently, in February of this year, Boehringer applied to require more notice as under New Jersey law to save the real estate payments. Boehringer has requested an 18-month extension of its current lease with a 6-month extension option for a second lease amendment versus this year with a net rent of $34.10 per square foot for 12 months and then increasing $35.54 in the balance from month 13 to 18 and then in effect under the if they exercise its right to extend for the additional 6 months. Staff is already starting trying with, along with JLL, Roper Records, try to recommission the 75,000 square feet space that Boehringer is able with. That would include the current tour, inventory, and property, and preparing marketing material. It could also include marketing to incubating tenants and more. Staff recommends the members approve the second lease amendment because it would prevent the facility staff to plan the market and lease the property and provide both parties a definite end to the labor.
Any questions? Okay, can we hear an amendment to, or sorry, a motion to approve? Second?
Second, Farrar.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion is approved. Item number 15, authority matters, has been withdrawn from consideration at this time. So with that, we move to board memoranda. Tim?
I'll be pretty brief. You have a couple of board memoranda delegated authority in your pack. One is a delegated authority memo with regard to the hazardous discharge site remediation fund program. The other is a more extensive and pretty compelling, quite compelling narrative around economic security, whether that's food security or child care, just providing an update on programs that are active in. It's an incredibly important part of our comprehensive economic development approach, and I'm incredibly proud of taking any questions on the internet.
Okay, no questions for Tim. All right, with that, if there are no additional comments, I'd like to thank everyone for their participation and will now request a motion to adjourn this meeting. Could I hear a motion to adjourn, please? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Second. Rumor said that. Second. Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, thank you. This concludes our meeting. Thank you, operator.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Verizon Conferencing. You may now disconnect.
Sure.